Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on the Hearts Aflame Discipleship Journey, which took place March 14th through the 23rd, 2017, that my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, and Steve Thigpen took a group of people on. And today's session took place at Gadara, where Pastor Drew David shared about Jesus healing the demon-possessed man.
Lord, we thank you for a good lunch at InGev. It was all joy to share in St. Peter's Fish, and we have broken bread together, and we're grateful. And now Pastor Drew is going to break the bread of life, and he's going to give to us the words that you have spoken and the words that you will speak through him. So my prayer is that at the conclusion of our time together, that we will be amazed at some things you have spoken to us, and that Pastor Drew will be amazed at some things you've spoken through him. And all the people said. Amen.
Well, we're still confronted with the question that we were presented with in Caesarea Philippi. And the question of, who do you say that I am? And this is my third trip here. And each time we go, we start there. And we have this question, who do you say that I am? This character of Jesus that shows up. And as we're here on the Sea of Galilee, we're confronted with some other things. We're confronted with different powers that exist. We're confronted with who Jesus is. We're seeing his character show up. We went to Magdala, where Jesus performed a miracle, in a sense, from a woman that was from there, casting out the demons from Mary Magdalene. We've gone up to some areas where Jesus walked and he taught, and we're confronted with this character that in some sense seems to be a bit distant. And yet it seems almost as if we're getting a little closer. Like each step, and maybe that's just me, but each step we take along this journey, we get a little bit closer. But at the same time, I think we're disconnected in a little bit with some of the, you know, the time that exists. Maybe a little bit of the cultural things are just finally now becoming, we're becoming aware of them. But imagine just for a moment, we had just gotten off of the boat that we were on earlier. We've left everything that was a little bit comfortable for us on the other side. Our family back home, people that we know, people that we spend time with, the people that speak the same language as us, people that have the same culture as us, the people that we would embrace, the people that we walk down the side of the road and you say, hey, how are you doing? I know who you are. And you call them by name. And now you've just been on a very stormy bit of water. It wasn't the peace that we had earlier. It was a huge storm that overtook, and Jesus said in the midst of that, peace be still, and he calms all of the storm. And right now, everything, this place of comfort, has completely been cut off. And now you arrive here on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so comfort is gone, and now you're here in a region and a place that looks nothing like what you're used to. Not because the way everything is set up here, but because of the people that are around. In fact, you know in your mind that the people are going to be different. This region, this area here, part of the Decapolis, the 10 cities of, in the Jewish mind, a pagan area. There was, you know, Greek-speaking, the Romans had come in here, they had overtaken this whole area. Jews that had once lived here and had tried to speak into the lives of these foreign people that came in were kind of pushed out. They didn't want to hear the teachings of this weird people anymore. And here you are, as a disciple of Jesus, still trying to figure out who he is, even though you're trying to confess with your mouth. And you show up, and you know that this is going to be something different. You know this is going to be maybe scary. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the first thing you're met with is a man that is out of his mind. This character we read about in three of the Gospels. In Matthew, for example, there's two men that show up. But in Mark chapter 5 and also Luke chapter 8, we read about this encounter as Jesus and his disciples leave the storm, enter the peace, but all of a sudden on the shores there's a new type of storm that exists. And it says this in Luke, and we're going to read this because it's a little bit shorter for us. It says, "Then they sailed to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.' And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." Here we have this encounter of Jesus and this man who was once possessed. As I look at this passage of Scripture and as I look at the situation that exists here, we enter into a place of chaos. If you look at it, it's chaos. There's a lack of identity for the man himself. He goes by Legion, the thing that possesses him, or the things. He's in a place of nakedness, completely vulnerable in the world around him. He's been shackled and chained time and time again. A place of chaos exists all around. And then we see the power of Jesus. I think this is important for us to look at. Chaos and the power of Jesus that comes into it. It's almost as if the Word of God spoken takes the chaos and brings it into order. Almost even to the point you can reflect back to the creation story of the Word of God spoken and chaos turns to order. The abyss that the demons request that Jesus doesn't, you know, put them to has different connotations that exist. The abyss is sometimes thought as hell in a sense, or the place of the dead, a place of water that exists like this, but mostly also a place of chaos. Here, these demons that possess this man, that put him in a place of chaos, beg Jesus not to put them into chaos themselves. But Jesus comes into the midst of this man's chaos and speaks peace, shalom, placing things back into order the way they were meant to be. It says he was sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. We have the question, who do you say that I am? And when I look at this character, this man, Jesus is not just some person that he should base his life on. He's not just, well, I'm going to follow the teachings of this person. It's not just someone that showed up one time and it was a great meal that they shared together. For this man, Jesus is someone who changed his life completely. And that's kind of the thing that I think is so important for us to grasp, is that Jesus comes into our chaos and brings order to it. The story that is, my life has had times of chaos, places of my own choice to enter into chaos, but not necessarily really the complete choice of moving to Germany, but there was a lot of chaos that existed in that. Chelsea and I have entered into a new world of chaos as we try to figure out what in the world we're going to do with William and twins that are coming into the midst of things. If Jesus were just someone that I was going to base my life on because of his teachings, there's not a whole lot of power in that. But Jesus comes with power. He came with power to calm the storms. And he came with power to take that which was broken, that was out of order, that was chaotic, that was falling apart, things that were out of their right minds. And he brought shalom and peace. He brought something new. He brought identity. He brought a right mind. He brought comfort. And he also brought a story that this man went and shared with everyone. We don't have a lot of time to talk about the fear of the people, but I want us to look at this idea that Jesus comes with power to take the chaos of our world and in our lives, and he is able to put it back into the way that he intended. He is able to speak words that transform the brokenness of our lives and our world. I don't know where you are. Maybe we're talking to just one of our last stops of, you know, leaving our comfort zone. Maybe things around you they've been shooken up like crazy, like you've been in the back of a Talib's bus for too long, right? But the power of Jesus is able to take that chaos and place it into order. I think it'd be wise of us to take a moment and to pray. And maybe you, where you're at, is you just present to Christ your chaos. And see if he doesn't speak order into it. We'll take a moment to pause, and then I will pray for us. There are times when our chaos doesn't look as crazy as this man who was once called Legion. And because of that, we kind of hide away our chaos. We hide away the things that are tormenting us. We hide away the things that we can't put back into order on our own, and we just try to deal with it. We try to hide it away. We try to clothe it just enough so it's not embarrassing. We shackle it up in different places so that no one would get a glimpse of it. But God, when you show up, you bring order. And when you show up, you put things back to the way they're supposed to be. When you move in the life of a person, it might be uncomfortable, but you remove the chaos and you bring your order, your righteousness, your justice. your peace. And so, God, I know that as we go along this journey together and we look at the places where Christ walked, as we take these steps, as we hear these stories, it doesn't take away our chaos, but you can. And so, God, this day, we ask that your words will bring order. Your words will bring peace. Your words will bring clarity. God, we thank you that you make all things right. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, the one who is powerful and able to move in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. One more time. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like